How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We thank you for making us part of your daily routine Monday through Friday. We are here and we thank you for downloading us for whatever it is that you're doing, whether you want to listen to us on your way to or from work, maybe instead of one of the other afternoon or morning drive time radio shows. We're happy to be a stand-in replacement for them, whatever it is, however you're doing it. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and rating us 5 stars. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, along with Jay King. It's the midseason. We are at the midseason point. The Celtics have played 41 games. They are on a 52-win pace. They are off today. Well, by the time you listen to it, they will be playing the Knicks. So we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to hand out some midseason awards, some fun, some not, some straightforward, and we're going to get into the Carmelo Anthony crap that's been flying out there. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor today, Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon has some of the finest clothing that you can buy, t-shirts, underwear, a great shopping experience. Check them out at mackweldon.com. Thank you for sponsoring the show. So, Jay, let's just squash this. Can we just put this thing to bed? Carmelo Anthony has said a million times, I am not waiving my no-trade clause. He said it again today in a meeting with Phil Jackson. I am not waiving my no-trade clause. But I listened to the Chris Mannix podcast. He's got Bobby Marks on there talking about should Carmelo get traded. Someone else, who was it? Oh, Matt Moore mentioned potential landing spots for Carmelo Anthony if he were to get traded. And now there's another one you said that's going out there. Enough. He's not coming to the Celtics. He's not going anywhere. He's staying in New York. Done. End of story.
And it doesn't even matter if he wants to waive the no-trade clause. Look, Carmelo Anthony has had his time as a basketball superstar. He has been one of the NBA's best scorers. I think he's been underappreciated because he's never played with quality supporting casts, or he has very rarely played with quality supporting casts. His time has passed. The Celtics are not going to trade anything of value for Carmelo Anthony, who is past his prime, who no longer lifts his team to the level that he needs to. They're not touching one of those Brooklyn Nets picks for Carmelo Anthony. If you think they are, you are out of your brain. It is not happening. Carmelo's not that type of player anymore. He's not worth the contract that he's on. I'm not sure exactly when his contract goes to. When does it go through? 2019?
Yeah, I think he's got three more years.
We've been over this so many times before. The Celtics are not going to sacrifice the chance to go after those true stars, which Carmelo Anthony is not anymore, to go after somebody else who will help them this year but won't do enough for them over the long term. So no. It's not happening for Carmelo Anthony. And if it does happen, the Celtics damn sure aren't dipping into one of those Nets picks. I can promise that, because you only dip into those Nets picks for like a top 10 player. Carmelo Anthony would have qualified for that 5-6 years ago. Not anymore. This he's not even the best player on his team. Porzingis, baby, the unicorn. Carmelo, it's not happening. Everybody needs to stop with that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. What are the Celtics going to give up? Legitimately, they shouldn't give up guys like Crowder or any. Like, I get that they need wing scoring and all of that stuff, but you talk about a tremendous drop-off defensively. They already have their problems defensively. I don't want Carmelo Anthony. I just don't. So
Jay Crowder's a better player.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. I would rather have Crowder. It's an interesting thing to say that Jay Crowder is better than Carmelo Anthony. I wonder how many people outside of Celtics land are going to agree with that comment, though. It's interesting.
I don't think it's that interesting anymore. I think that's pretty... I mean, as far as a two-way value,
Carmelo can still score. He can still score. He can still fill it up. But I mean,
I could fill it up, man. I'm not out there as a star. Look, especially for the value of the contracts, Jay Crowder is a more valuable player than Carmelo Anthony, and it's given the value of their contracts, it's not even close.
Well, yeah, I would tend to agree. So I'm not going to get too deep into this. I just want to shut this up, shut it down. Done. Like, Carmelo Anthony is not coming here. On top of everything, you have to match the contract, which is well over $20 million, which means he's the guy. He's the cap space. So you're not only bringing him in and not bringing in somebody else, you are doing it at the expense of the renegotiate and extend for Isaiah Thomas or Kelly Olynyk is gone. Like, those things just, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I'd rather just not deal with that right now. I don't want Carmelo, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. So he doesn't want us. We don't want him. Done. End of story. Okay. Moving on. We are at the halfway point of the season. The Boston Celtics have a very nice 24. No, I'm sorry. They have a 26-15 record. They are on pace for 52 wins. They are third in the Eastern Conference. And that's kind of where we thought they were going to be. A lot of things have worked out maybe the way we thought. A lot of things have not. So let's do it. Let's do what everybody else is doing, the midseason awards, but do it our way. So let's start out with a couple of straightforward ones. Let's go with the biggest surprise of the year for you.
Biggest surprise, Isaiah Thomas. I mean, obviously you knew he could score. You knew he was going to be an offensive stud, but I don't think anybody expected him to develop as quickly, as rapidly, and as wonderfully as he has. The last month has been beyond my wildest dreams. You know, he said the other night in his interview with Comcast Sports on the sideline interview, he was like, yeah, none of this surprises me. Well, this shit surprises everyone else, man. This shit is outrageous what Isaiah Thomas is doing. So Isaiah has been the biggest surprise to me. I mean, there's been a lot of other promising developments from Marcus Smart as a playmaker and in the post to Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley as top shooters. And in Bradley's case, a much better off the dribble player. But as far as biggest surprises go, I'm not sure there's anywhere else to go but Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to be the obvious choice in the interest of not having the same answer. But also, I think Avery Bradley's emergence as a legit second option, and not just shooting, passing, driving. I think his overall game took a surprising step forward this year. And, you know, with Isaiah, you can make an argument that with Al Horford and the ability to go five out for some stretches, that he's getting a little bit more space and he's taking advantage of it. And that's helping things. You can make the same argument for Avery Bradley, I guess. I just think Avery Bradley, no one saw him taking a step forward like this. So for me, that's a pretty big surprise. And you, I think we can both, you mentioned it, give honorable mention just to Jay Crowder, and he's just shooting from three, which is, who saw that coming? Shooting top 10 now in the NBA, isn't he?
Yeah, number nine as we record this podcast.
That's insane. That's completely insane. I can't even comprehend that. So
still close to a 50-40-90 season, which is outrageous.
Right. For
this is
Jay Crowder,
who the Hawks sagged off completely in the playoffs last year. Granted, it was partly because his ankle was hurt, but I mean, the strategy back then was leave Crowder, make anyone else hurt you, and make him hurt you rather, and he couldn't do it. And now it's, if you leave him, it's three.
It's deadly. It is deadly if you leave him. Okay. Best individual performance of the season.
I'm going to have to go with Isaiah Thomas, 52 points, 29 in the fourth quarter. Is there any other option there?
No, there's no other option. There is no other option.
Horford against the Kings was unbelievable, but obviously 52 is 52.
52 is
29 52. In the fourth quarter was outrageous, and they needed every one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's get that out of the way. Worst individual performance of the season. So, you have to figure it's a Marcus Smart game, right?
No, because Marcus always gives you half the game.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not necessarily him, even though, yes, he has moments where his offense is not defensible.
How about this? 4 of 14 shooting, 2 of 8 from 3 in a loss to the Detroit Pistons. That's a pretty bad game. It's
harmless, though. What would be the worst game? That's a tough one. I'm going to go, you know what? Al Horford has had a lot of great moments for the Celtics. He's done a lot of great things for the Celtics. He laid a donut against the Cavaliers. I think he had one rebound against them.
Mm-hmm.
Got lit up by Kevin Love. So I'm going with Al Horford against the Cavaliers. And there are other players that have had worse games, but compared to expectations, Horford's game against the Cavaliers was the one I'll go with.
Okay. All right. Okay, fair enough. I'm going to stick with the Marcus game. 4-14.
Oof. And Horford had some awesome blocks in that game. I do have to point that out. Great chase down block on LeBron James.
All right, let's start. Let's just wing it. Let's just go for just run down the roster and just give everybody an award. Let's just do that. So let's just start at the top. Let's start with the big guy, the little guy, Isaiah Thomas. Let's give him an award. It's not MVP. It's
so we did these in the summer for Summer League.
Yeah.
And so we're just coming up with these off the top of our head. It's like a superlative like you'd get in like a high school yearbook or something.
Yeah.
And so we are just making these up right now. We're just going to have some fun with it. I've got Isaiah Thomas most likely to indirectly reference Dennis Schroeder while accepting the MVP trophy. Like, you know how Kevin Durant told his mom, like, you're the real MVP? Like, Isaiah Thomas will be like, that dude in Atlanta, not the real MVP.
He hates like,
very
Schroeder.
Far from the real MVP.
They hate each other. What the hell, man? That's a crazy little dynamic that's going on there.
I like that little beef. That beef is fun.
It is fun. It is fun. Isaiah Thomas is most likely to hit a shot off the top of the shot clock over Roy Hibbert.
On purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go to Avery Bradley.
Most likely to Block a 6'8 dude in the post and make it look super awesome. I love watching Avery Bradley guard bigger dudes in the post. Like, it's not always, doesn't always work out, but he is always like right on the shot. Whether he blocks it or not, he is always right there. And his timing when guys try to shoot over him is just outrageous. So sometimes he gets a block, sometimes he doesn't. But it is really fun to watch him guard bigger guys in the post.
I'm going to say most likely to win a staring contest with Brad Stevens, just because I don't think either of them like blink or have any emotion whatsoever. Can you imagine a staring contest between those guys?
I think Jay Larinaga would win personally.
Really?
Huh? You ever seen, I get tweeted pictures a lot of Jay Larinaga doing like halftime interviews or whatever, and his eyes just get super intense. And I talked to him about it one time. People tweeted me that they're afraid of Jay Larinaga, and he was like, you know, it doesn't help my cause that I sit next to the most composed man in the entire world. That's in Brad Stevens.
So. all right. Let's just go right around the starting lineup.
Jay would probably also want me to note that he's a very nice, calm guy, and nobody should be afraid of him.
Duly noted. Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is most likely to, let's see, most likely to get jumped walking down the street in Washington, D.C. by Wizards fans.
And then beat up everyone.
Right. Just come out of like Hulk up and just beat everybody up. But
no, I don't think you jump Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is not a guy.
Here's the thing.
You jump.
People, and we all follow everybody from other teams. I'm going through some of these Wizards blog Twitters, and they're just like legitimately like, oh, you don't want to mess with John Wall. Do you understand who Jay Crowder is? Do you understand what kind of a massive human being he is? He's twice the size of John Wall.
Here's the thing, though. Wall is a tough guy too, and then with Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, throw in Markieff Morris, who's a bit of a wild card for the Wizards, that could have been a nice little tag team match after the game.
I still don't think that you mess with Crowder. Okay, your Crowder thing.
I'm gonna go most likely to hit 7 3-pointers in a playoff game without once stepping inside the 3-point arc. as great as Crowder has shot this year, he really has lost some of his off the dribble game. He's not getting to the free throw line as much. He's not getting the hoop as much. Hopefully he will get that back. Obviously his ankle has been hindering him. He's not 100% yet, but hopefully he can get that back. Until then, he's a bit limited as an offensive player. Because even with all the space he's getting from Isaiah Thomas's drives and Al Horford drawing attention, he hasn't been able to attack closeouts like he used to.
Yeah, I know. I agree. That's an interesting development this year. Hopefully, I'm gonna wait until after the All-Star break to kind of see if a little bit of rest changes that, or if he's just so in love with that 3-pointer now that that's just his game.
It's not even the I think it's definitely the ankle. He's talked about the ankle a few times lately that has hurt him from getting to the hoop. So I do think it's an ankle thing. I don't think it's just that he's in love with the three. Even if he is just in love with the three, the guy has had a hell of a shooting season.
Right. I guess this is the time to be in love with the three if you are Jay Crowder. Okay. How about this? Most likely to make a comfortable hoodie or pair of underwear?
Mac Weldon. And I can vouch for that one. Mac Weldon hoodie. I still wear it all the time. So comfortable.
I agree. I love my Mac Weldon underwear. I also have the Pima shirt. I have a couple of t-shirts. I think it's really good stuff. And they hooked us up. They gave us a little bit of a deal to go check out some of their stuff on MacWeldon.com. We got it. We love it. Like, legitimately, we love it. So here's the thing. Go to MacWeldon.com. You can surf around, search for stuff. You get a bigger discount as you shop. And you can, of course, use the promo code LO Celtics and you get 20% off. So use the promo code LO Celtics, search through their stuff. They've got their, they've got an antimicrobial line. They get the silver stuff. They've got performance gear. They've got casual gear. LO Celtics is the promo code. You get 20% off. And then as you shop, you get even more of a discount. The customer service is great. You can, if you don't like something, just call them up, send them an email, go through their customer service. They'll take care of it all for you. No risk, no problems. So check out macweldon.com. Again, great customer service, great online experience, and you're going to love whatever it is that you buy. It's all good stuff. Okay. Al Horford.
Most likely to be compared to Brad Stevens in demeanor. That dude, I know you gave the Bradley, like they don't stare, they don't have emotion. Al Horford is the player version of Brad Stevens, always watching what he says, always wanting to say the right thing, always wanting to do the right thing. And I think it kind of bleeds over into his basketball game. Like that's a dude who always wants to make the right pass, who always wants to make the right play. So I'm going with he's the Brad Stevens of players. I'll shout out Chris Forsberg because he's the one who pointed that out first.
Yep. On one of our shows, and I think that was great. I'm going to say Al Horford is the most likely to get called out for not earning his money while having a 20-point, 6-rebound, and 5-assist game. For some reason, he has these great games, and people on Twitter still say, why did we give him a max contract? I don't get it. He has like the most low-key great games. He's not dominant. He's never going to be dominant, but he still earns his money very, very easily earns his money. But in the middle of these great games, in the middle of, even if his shot was off, there was one time where we had like 8 rebounds in the first half and people were like, see, Al Horford's overpaid. Like, dude, he just had 8 rebounds and his shot was a little bit off. And then he went off in the second half to have like a huge game. So,
yeah, for whatever reason, people do overreact to Al Horford in that way. It's like the Kelly Olynyk thing. Like, everybody overreacts to Kelly Olynyk whenever he screws up. It's like, oh my God, Kelly Olynyk's going again. And then even when Olynyk goes off, people will be like, why doesn't he do that every night? Well, it's really hard to have 26 points every night, guys. You want to do it yourself? So Horford kind of has that to a greater extent, I think, because he is making all that money. There's a lot of weird tweeters that come out of the woodworks when Horford struggles a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Amir Johnson, I think, is the most likely to actually have a limb fall off of his body while he's running down the court. I'm just constantly amazed that sometimes I feel like he's running in slow motion. He has like 15 minutes, 20 minutes in him. And then after that, it just all falls apart. And I feel like he'll be running down the court and his leg will just fall off.
Most likely to have a shot clock violation and then release his 3-pointer 3 seconds later.
Now, he will have gotten the pass with 20 seconds on the shot clock.
Yeah, exactly. That 3-point shot, it cracks me up every time because he's a pretty good shooter. Like, he can make shots. It takes him a day and a half. Like, you can make breakfast. You can watch Saved by the Bell in the morning. Like, you can have a cup of coffee, and he's still sitting there ready to hoist that thing up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Marcus Smart. Oh, so many possibilities for Marcus Smart.
You go first on this one.
Oh, great. Marcus Smart is most likely to get a flagrant two while flopping.
A flagrant two for kicking his own ass.
Yeah.
His flops sometimes are like the liar liar scene where he's like slamming himself into the side of the bathroom wall and comes out with like blood all over himself. That's Marcus Smart's flop sometimes. I can't remember like his last truly egregious flop though.
It was let's see. What was the game? It was they lost at the buzzer. Shoot, I'm drawing a blank on that. Where he was in rebounding position, he got kind of nudged, and he just flew out of the way. What game was that?
I'm blanking too. I forget here. I'll go into mine though. Most likely to go one. Nah, that's a cop out. I was gonna say most likely to go 1-for-14. And still be a hero in a playoff game. But that's just like kind of what he does. Most likely to... this one's tough. I'm struggling on this one for some reason.
It's hard to not give him the same one. Like even mine was, let's see. Was it the Rockets game? They lost against the Rockets.
That was a while ago, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he's not flopping as much as he used to. You can't even remember the last time he flopped.
No, the last one that he got a warning for that one. That's why I'm. Yes, okay. It was the Rockets. It was at the end, and I think that's the one where Horford missed the layup. And as that layup went up, Smart kind of got nudged in the back, but then just flopped out of bounds like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was the very last play of the game. It was like that low-key, like you missed it, but if you really watch, you say, oh, Jesus Christ, he went flying out of bounds. So that's the last one I can remember. That was really, really bad.
That was a good one. Most likely to dismember John Wall next week when they play the Wizards.
Okay.
I don't think Crowder will get into another fight. Crowder doesn't seem like the person. Like he'll get in some disagreements sometimes. But I feel like he doesn't let it linger too much, or at least he tries not to let it linger. I feel like Smart and Wall have been beefing for a while now. Like there is legitimate bad blood. I don't know why between those guys. Like Wall threw him to the ground. So I'm excited for that Celtics Wizard. It's like a random midseason matchup that in normal circumstances wouldn't really mean a lot. But now you have Isaiah Thomas versus John Wall. You have Marcus Smart and Jay Crowder tag team against Wall and Morris. I'm a big fan. I think that game could have some fireworks to it.
Okay, all right. I agree that would be nice. Okay, Kelly Olynyk. I'll say Kelly Olynyk is most likely to completely reverse popular opinion about him by the end of the season, which is to say that. That's just my way of saying I think that he will, in the second half, have a pretty good second half. I think that he's turning it around. So I think by the time July rolls around, we're going to be sitting there saying, look at all these people on Twitter saying we can't let Kelly go. And Ainge is going to have to make a decision on whether to let Kelly go.
Yeah, that could be the case. He is most likely to anger fans while helping the Celtics.
Yeah.
He and Horford, as we said earlier, it's just like I think it's because they're not the most physical guys. Like Boston loves the guys who throw their bodies around and dive after loose balls and all that. And Horford and Olynyk, they're hustlers. But it's not like they're going to overpower guys for rebounds in most cases. And Olynyk, like, he's almost always in the right spot defensively. He's a guy who spaces the court every time. Almost every opposing coach you talk to talks about the Celtics shooters at the five position in Al Horford and Kelly Olynyk and how difficult it is to guard a team that has such great shooters out there. You know, the Utah Jazz came into town with their number two defense at the time, and Gordon Hayward said, yeah, we had to basically switch up our entire defense because they just popped, the big guys just popped to the arc, and the way we normally guard pick and rolls, it just doesn't work against guys like Al Horford and Kelly Olynyk. So Olynyk will keep helping the Celtics. People keep being pissed off at him, and that's just the way it'll go.
That sounds pretty accurate. Okay, a couple more, because we can't. There's some guys we're just not going to get to. We're going to say, who have I missed? Jaylen Brown.
Ooh. Most likely to dunk on what big guy?
Everybody? Everybody?
Dunk on, I'm going to have him dunking. He's going to dunk on Frank Kaminsky next time they play the Hornets. Most likely to dunk on Frank Kaminsky, but then get benched for fouling a three-point shooter on the ensuing possession.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say the same. How about, yeah, because all, if I mean, he's, that's the only thing that he's got, like, the most likely. He is the most likely to have, like, some sort of crazy spectacular play, right? So, I mean, that's, it's all the kind of the same thing. How about this? Most likely to win the dunk contest All-Star weekend.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. I mean, he's the only option from the Celtics that might even be an option, unless Gerald Green wants to throw it way back, hit the way back machine.
He could do that.
Start blowing out candles again.
Yeah, I think I'll say that Jaylen surprises people, probably because I'm going to guess that some of the regulars might not participate. Like, I'm wondering if Zach LaVine might not do it again. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he doesn't. I still think Gerald Green should get out there, man. I didn't think he still had the hops left to him.
Yeah,
but until that alley-oop in Toronto.
Yeah.
His head was almost rim level.
He can get up. Terry Rozier.
Most likely to remain out of the rotation because, A, he wasn't as good as he looked during preseason, and B, Marcus Smart is a lot better as a bully ball point guard.
I'm going to say most likely bench guy to hit a game winning shot in the second half.
Ooh. I wasn't prepared for that one.
I think that he's going to, I can see a scenario where maybe.
Okay, so he's more likely than Marcus Smart or Kelly Olynyk to hit, or are we saying bench guys like?
No, I'm gonna say both of those guys most likely to hit a game winning shot in the second half of anybody that's not a starter. I think that he'll get an opportunity. And somebody will foul out of the game, you know, or something like Avery Bradley will miss a game or something is going to happen where one of these guys isn't playing in a certain game and it'll be close and he'll be forced into action. And through teams taking away other options, he's going to get the overflow shot and he's going to win the game.
I don't know, but this one, I mean, we've said some crazy things in this. This might be the craziest.
Yeah,
more,
maybe.
More likely than Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk, who often close games or who are often in there in the last few minutes. I'm just not sure about this one, John. I'm just not sure. What are you, a bald podcaster or something?
Yeah, man. I'm a bald podcaster who's like 30.
for everyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, on Twitter today, John put out not the worst take ever, which he just said that Joel Embiid should not qualify as a rookie because he's already been in the league for 2 years. Whatever. Shouldn't have really offended anyone. But Sixers fans went at his neck all afternoon. And one of them told his insult to John was that he's a 30-year-old bald podcaster. Like there's nothing on earth worse than being a 30-year-old bald podcaster.
Oh, no. He didn't call you that.
Yeah,
I'm actually, that was like the biggest compliment I got today. You think I'm only 30? Awesome.
Well, you did say, though, you didn't think bald's an insult. I think bald's an insult, man.
I guess. But I mean, I'm willingly bald. I shave my head.
Yeah, but I guarantee the reason is you started to thin a little bit up there.
No, I like the look.
You're just a shaved head guy.
I have, like, I'm not, if I let it all grow out, I'm not like Manu Ginobili. I have like a little tiny bit of like a, I don't know what you even call it, like a what do you call it, like a widow's peak type of thing?
Like,
is that what you call it?
Receding hairline?
Just yeah, like right over, like by my temples, just like a little tiny bit, but nothing that is egregious. I'm not sitting here like, Costanza, like, oh, you know, it's gonna happen. It's all going away soon. If I wanted to grow my hair out, I could grow it out. I just choose to shave my head. I think it makes me look damn sexy.
It's because you want to be that 30-year-old bald podcaster, man.
Yeah, actually, it's definitely making me look younger. I have plenty of hair. I just don't know at this point how much of it is actually gray, and I'm never going to find out. Like, I don't know how much gray hair I have.
Now the truth comes out. It goes from, I think I'm sexy bald, to I'm petrified of the grays that I have on the top of my head.
If I grow it out, I'm sure, you know, like, you know, guys, we get away with that. I'm sure if I had like a few salt and pepper thing going on there, people would be like, oh, all right. But
you could be a silver fox, man.
I could be. I'm much closer to Silver Fox than I am to 30. That's for goddamn sure.
I got some grays coming in too.
Oh yeah, poor guy.
Yeah.
Wait till you start seeing
hair,
it.
Though.
Wait till you start seeing on places other than your head. Then you really start to get the idea of like, oh shit, I'm old. Okay, that's a good place to end the show, I think. I don't know how many other superlatives we're going to be handing out that can top that conversation. The rest of the guys, you know, do more to earn superlatives. Okay. I want to say one thing before we go. If you are an advertiser, somebody that has a business in the Boston area, you are somebody that is interested in reaching men ages 18 to 54, then you could advertise right here on the show. Our audience is 97% men. 71% audience of our audience is between the age of 18 and 44, and recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products that they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. So instead of putting your money in other places on the radio or whatever, if you have a company that's interested in reaching that demographic, email us, lockedonceltics@gmail.com. lockedonceltics@gmail.com. Our rates are very reasonable, and you'll probably get a lot of bang for your buck. We've got some great national sponsors, but if you are a business in Boston, you want to reach Boston Celtics fans, then give us a shout. So,
what's the best way to spend your money?
Absolutely.
You all probably want to wear Mack Weldon stuff because of us. Because we are so damn comfortable in these hoodies and the socks and everything else. So imagine how much we could hype up your business.
Just think about it. I'm sure that, well, you know, you've been wondering about how to get in on this phenomenon that is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Well, there you go.
Your business is the most likely to be super intelligent and advertised on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
For those of you who are not businesses and just listeners, we want to thank you for downloading us, subscribing, rating us 5 stars. The 5-star ratings are great, again, because they spread the word. They raise us up in the rankings. People who just randomly search for Celtics podcasts on iTunes will be able to find us, and then they get exposed to great podcasts like this one and many others that are probably a lot better than this one, but all great. So thank you for rating us the 5 stars. Thank you for telling everybody about us. And thanks for listening. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.